seated. Good evening, everyone. I have a few things on my heart to share with you tonight. Why don't you open with me, first of all, to the book of Job, chapter 4, verse 3. And there was just a word that kept coming to my heart, one single word, and it was the word new. And I had something stirring in me a while ago about preaching on excellence, and the Holy Ghost had quickened some things to me, and I wrote those things down, and I thought that would be my next message. But then when Tim asked me to preach tonight, I couldn't get away from this word. And so I don't even really know all that's going to unfold concerning that word or what it all means that the Lord wants to bring to us tonight. But I prepared my heart in prayer, and I meditated in the word, and so we'll all be surprised together what it is that he reveals to us. Amen. But I had this sense in my heart that there seems to be that the whole church body is going through something where they're almost real distracted, not as interested as they could be in spiritual things, maybe not as taken up with God as they once were, or, you know, struggling with the challenges of life in terms of, you know, little children and busy jobs and, you know, the demands of a family and, you know, working and that sort of thing. And so it seemed to me tonight that the Lord just wanted to stir up in us to start new. You know, not that we go back to the beginning where we once were and we got saved. He didn't mean that. But that there are new things for us. And he wants to help us get to those things. And it wasn't like he was saying to me, like it was a rebuke, that we're just doing a really bad job. It wasn't that. It was like, have you ever seen your kids, you know, or you've seen a kid, and you know that they're struggling in something, and just that, you know, that fatherly or motherly instinct on the inside sort of reaches out to them, and you just want to say, honey, it's okay. You'll do better tomorrow. You know, it's all right. And you want to encourage them to just, it's all right. Put your best foot forward from now on. You know, maybe you had a few missteps, but just get up and go again. You know, and that's kind of how it seemed to me, that there are some things that the Lord would like us to reach for and reach toward. There are things that he wants us to bless our lives with, but also that there is something that we must do to get to that. And it seems sort of like altogether, we just sort of hit a little slump. But we're coming up out of that. And I don't mean to sound negative, but just to say that I believe there's more that we can do. And I don't mean in terms of serving in works, because honestly, I think we're doing a great job in that area. You know, if I asked anyone in this room if they could help me with something, if they could be there to help me do something, if they could set up for an event, if they could help, you know, clean up after an event, if they could help with youth group and an outreach, I believe everybody here would want to do that and be very generous with their time and their abilities and, you know, just their natural efforts. But how many of you know there's a natural and a spiritual side to everything? And so it is not enough just to serve in our local church and to be busy doing a job. There is a spiritual side to our life that must take precedence. And I'm human. I understand the pressures of life. I understand the challenges of having kids, of having new babies, you know, of having to run a household, you know, all of those things. But also, listen, the one thing that's the most important is your spiritual health. Because if you're healthy spiritually, every other part of your life will flourish. Everything flows out of the health of your spirit. And so this was my job description for tonight, which is what the Lord gave me just this afternoon. And it seems kind of funny that it's coming out of Job. But go to Job chapter 4, verse 3. And this was my assignment. And then I'm going to share with you that when I fulfill my part, and we know God always does his part in a service, and then when I do my part, I'll show you what the Lord revealed to me would happen for you, okay? So Job chapter 4, verse 3, this was my heart. This was my part of the service. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholdeth him that was falling and strengthened the feeble knees. And so as the word is ministered tonight, and as the Holy Ghost works in your heart, what's going to happen is that you're going to be strengthened for life. Amen. And that those areas that seem weak, and maybe that you were faltering in, you have strength to get up and to face that thing. Amen. And listen, it's not me. It's the preaching of the word that does it. Anybody who's anointed and called could get up and minister the same word, and the Lord would, you know, have power in that, anointing in that. And so it's nothing of me. I'm not pointing to myself, but just to say, as the word went out. Now, in verse 3, it says, "Thou hast instructed many and strengthened the hands." You know, many times the reason that people are weak, that, you know, they're faltering in peace, they're faltering in joy, is because they don't have instruction of what to do. When you have instruction, there's peace and joy. You know, someone was at my house recently, a lady, and she is a believer, but she doesn't have a local church where she's taught the word. She doesn't have a pastor right now. And she is in a difficult situation, and she had to choose she's kind of between a rock and a hard place. You ever been there in life? 10 times over. But we know what to do because we have the instruction of the word. So she didn't know what to do. And she sat there and she was talking to me, and it just seemed to me, you know how sometimes people are asking you a question but they don't really want to ask? It was one of those times. And so, you know, I don't always offer my opinion or what's on my heart to share with someone, but if I sense that they're really wanting me to answer it, I do. And so I said, "Well, what do you have the most peace on?" And immediately she knew what it was that she had the most peace on choosing. And I said, "Go with that." And I said, "Peace at all cost. Pick the thing you have the most peace with and go with that." And it was like immediately you could tell on her countenance that she just had, you know, joy, that she was refreshed to know. And even later that day, she said, "I'm so glad that we talked this morning. I feel relieved. I feel strengthened." Why? Because when you have instruction and you know what to do, there's joy, there's peace, and there's strength in that. Amen. And not because of me, because the Holy Ghost on the inside. We all have the same word. Amen. So we can know those things. And then go over to Daniel chapter 10. And here's what will be the result of you having come to hear the word tonight that the Lord wants to share with you. Daniel chapter 10, verse 18. Amen. Aren't you thankful to know what to do? Amen. If you're in a spot where you need to decide something and you're not totally sure, you can always ask the Lord. Remember what he said, "Call unto me and I will answer you." And then what? He'll show you things you did not know. Amen. So here's what will be the result for you. Why don't you go with me here? Verse 18. Did I tell you Daniel 10, 18? "And then there came again," and this is, you know, regarding Daniel, "then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." Now, I am not saying the Lord is going to appear to you and strengthen you, but how many of you know when we come together, there's a corporate anointing, a power and ability of God that doesn't operate outside these walls. You can have an individual anointing on your own life, and obviously when you read the word and you pray, there's a power and an ability available to you, but there is something that the Lord reserved specifically for the corporate anointing when we gather together. And so, "then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you, be strong, yes, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And the Lord, and he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." And so tonight, as the Lord ministers the word through me, I believe you'll be strengthened. Amen. And that as you're strengthened in knowing what to do, there'll come great peace and great joy. Amen. Listen, because I remember not knowing the Lord, and I remember when I just came to know the Lord, and I wasn't yet familiar with how to get an answer for a question that I had. And so we don't even realize sometimes how blessed we are that we know what to do. We know what to do. I don't ever sit down and scratch my head and wonder if I should do something. I have a witness on the inside. I have the Word of God, and it's revealed to me. I always know what to do. And that's what the world is looking for, knowing what to do. And let me tell you that when they run into you, they'll want to know God because you seem to know what to do. Amen? And so go with me here to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And honestly, I'm not sharing anything new. All of these things you have heard before. I've probably preached it several times myself. I know my husband has preached it. And what we don't always need a new revelation. What we need to do is do what we already know. So really, all I'm doing is reminding you what you already know. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Excuse me, verse 6. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And he said to him, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that's in you. And so, you know, when you're feeling like, you know, that dryness of not having fellowshiped with God like you should, of having sat down for 10 minutes before you went to bed, but you were mostly asleep when you read your word and you didn't get much out of it, you know, when those times come, the Bible tells us, you stir it up. You stir it up. Now, it's good to come to church and to be excited and to, you know, fellowship with the Lord and to, you know, rejoice when we're praising and worshiping God. But how many of you know you can't live on that? You live on what's out of your spirit every day. And so if you're feeling that sense of just a lull, do you know what I mean? That something could really be better here in my life. If you're sensing that, you need to stir yourself up. Amen. And listen, summertime is an interesting time because the days are longer, right? It's dark, or it doesn't get dark till like 9:30 or something. And so, you know, you lose track of time. You're out doing things in the yard. You're out, you know, traveling and that sort of thing. And so there's a greater temptation to not attend to your spiritual health. Amen. It's just greater in the summer. And so, but also I understand that while we're planning another church in Erie, and Tim is in charge of MTC, which ultimately raises up pastors and full-time ministers, there also is a spiritual component to it, that the enemy brings, the spirit of, distraction is spiritual in nature, and it is to be refused. And so, you know, even when that temptation comes, that you feel like you just want to wander in your attention, that you just don't sit down and meditate and study in the Word like you should, like you could, like you know you have before, that, you know, you stand up and you say something about that. How many times have we been taught that it matters what we say over and over and over again to something and about something? And so if you're sensing that for yourself, that you just can't pay attention, that your mind wanders in prayer, you address it. I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be distracted. And devil, I want you to know I'm going to stay here until I hear from heaven, until I get revelation in the Word. It don't matter how many distractions you bring. I refuse to participate. You've got to speak to that. You know, it can just be simple wandering of the mind. But it could also be some kind of hobby that you have or something that you enjoy doing. And listen, things like gardening, you know, shooting, hunting, going to the mall, whatever it is you do for recreation, those things aren't wrong. But sometimes they take over. And God will let you have those things till they have you. And then he'll witness to you to put it down. Amen. And so we have to live balanced. And I sense that it's gotten a little out of balance, that people have sort of stepped into spending a little more time on what they want to do and a little less time on the spiritual side. And I just encourage you, stir that up. Stir that up. Speak to it. Refuse to be distracted. Amen. And go with me here now to Galatians chapter 5. And this is one of the first things that I want to share with you. Galatians chapter 5. Listen, you know, a lot of people think the devil's plan is a well and live and prospering and that, you know, he's got one over on you. This time you're definitely not going to get out. He's got nothing but the power of suggestion. Amen. He's got nothing but the power of suggestion. And so when you're in the midst of something, you know, when you have symptoms that are upon your body trying to speak to you loud, when the checkbook tries to speak to you loud, when situations in your marriage try and speak to you loud, you talk back to it. No, this isn't working over on me. This is not prospering in my life. The word is what prospers in my life. And you say something back to that. Amen. I think we've gotten too quiet in our personal lives. That we ought to stand up. Pastor Nancy said one time she was going through a trial and it lasted for 3 years. And she said she had to rebuke the enemy and the thoughts of the enemy sometimes 200 times a day. But you know what we do sometimes is that they come and we just let it wash over us. And by the end of the day, you're exhausted. You know, you have nothing left to give because you never stood up and said no. Have you ever had your kids come to you and they really want something or they really want to do something and they'll just keep asking and keep asking and keep asking? Or for like us, you know, we have a pool. And so, you know, when the kids want to go in the pool, they want to go in that second. So if you need to finish folding a load of laundry or load the dishwasher or something, you know, they don't understand that. So you would be shocked how many times they can ask you when you're ready to go out and put them in the pool in a 10-minute time span. Are you ready yet? Mom, can we go in the pool yet? Are you ready? Are you coming? Are you almost done? And over and over and over again. And so, you know what? Sometimes you're like, just forget this. I'll fold this laundry later because I ain't answering that again. You know, you just want to do that. And so that's what happens with the enemy, where he'll come and he'll repeatedly lie to you about something. He'll repeatedly try and lure you into something. And so he'll try and get you involved in lusting after something. It could be a person. It could be an item. It could be a home. Something just to draw your attention away. And what happens many times is that we have not said what we should. That over and over and over again, we must say, I refuse to be defeated. I'm not going under, I'm going over. I refuse to look at my checkbook. I know God supplies all my needs. That you talk against that thing trying to come against your mind, amen? If you don't talk, it wins. You gotta say something, amen? You can't get quiet on the enemy, amen? He will wear you down mentally, right? He lives in the natural realm. So he works against something natural, and that's your mind. But what's greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. 1 John 4:4. And so how do you get over on him? Put something greater out on him. What's in your spirit? You'll never defeat him out thinking him. You'll never defeat him out pondering him. You'll never defeat him trying to come up with a better idea. It never happens. What you need to do is have the word in your spirit and speak that word against him. That's what puts you over. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And I would like to share this scripture with you. How about we go to the Amplified version of this scripture? But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of the human nature without God. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, or the godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other. They continually withstand and are in conflict with one another. And so the things of this natural realm and the things that are in the Word and in your spirit and that God has for you, they're always in conflict with one another. And what are they in conflict over? The real estate of your mind and your time. That's what they're in conflict over. So that you are not free and are prevented from doing what you desire to do. Have you ever felt like that? Like, I really just want to pray, but then you don't. I really just want to read my word, but I didn't. Listen, let me tell you what you do. You must feed your spirit. You must feed your spirit. Even when it seems dry, when it seems like there's no progress, when it seems like it's not working, when you didn't feel any better afterwards. Because, you know, we live in a society where everything is instant. You know, you can drive through and get instant food. Even the main restaurants, you know, years ago, they didn't used to do the drive-up service. Now you don't even have to get out of your car. You just call them up and they come out. You know, Amazon Prime 2 days later. Now if we order something from another website, my kids are like, a week? It's going to take a week because Amazon Prime has trained them 2 days is like how every place ships, you know. And so even waiting for something, you know, back in the day, remember that? I think it's called rotary. Is that what it's called? The little dial on the phone. And the phone cord like was 20 feet long and you could go in another room. You know, you had to be home to get a phone call. I love when I leave my cell phone at home and you can't get me, you can't call me, you can't find me, I ain't coming home. And so, you know, where there's something instant about everything, you know, in what we do now in the world. And so, and sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed, it takes patience and time to wait on God and get the answer that you need. It's not always instant. And so our flesh gravitates toward that thing that gives instant gratification. Amen. And so why don't we go down here to verse 24. And those who belong to Jesus Christ or the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. Now your spirit has a passion and appetite and desire just like your flesh does. You know, your flesh wants to eat an extra piece of cake. You know, wants to eat cake every day. You know, listen, I used to live on coffee. And I didn't sleep because I could drink caffeine instead. And that runs out, in case you didn't know. Eventually, you can't do that anymore. And so I remember one time there was someone who came up in a prayer line, and they were saying how they were having all kinds of stomach issues, but they were drinking two pots of coffee a day. Listen, you know, you might need to change the coffee drinking and your belly would recover. Amen? Because, listen, sometimes we'll do things naturally that we want, even if it's to our own hurt. Won't you? You know, have you ever done this where, you know, everybody's finally in bed, no one's demanding anything of you, and you know you have to get up early the next morning and you should just go to bed because everybody's finally in bed on time for a night? And yet you stay in your room or you do something else until you're up till midnight, and then the next day you're exhausted. Listen, you had the opportunity to sleep. You had the opportunity to rest and be refreshed, but what did you do? Your flesh had an appetite, and you fed that. We've all done it on little things every day. It happens. And so every day, all day long, in the evening, at night, your flesh is going to have a desire, but your spirit will have a desire. And we are making decisions all day long from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. Which one will we choose? Will we choose to feed our flesh or will we choose to follow the Spirit? And listen, in those times where you're having difficulty choosing the thing that God wants you to do and strengthen your spirit and strengthen your inner man, when you're having trouble doing that, just tell him, Lord, you know I want to read my Bible right now, and my flesh is screaming loud to do something else, and I thank you for your help as I go in to study my word. I thank you for revelation. I thank you, Father God, that your knowledge is imparted to me. I thank you I know what to do as I read your word. And just stir yourself up and ask the Lord for help. Amen. Hallelujah. You go to the next verse, please. And if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Holy Spirit. And if by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. And so that's the desire of God for us, is that our conduct is controlled by the Spirit. And so every time we have a decision to make, every time, you know, all throughout the day you're making decisions, right? What you're doing with your kids, what you're doing with your finances, what you're doing at your house, what you're doing at your job, what you're doing in your marriage. You're making decisions constantly. And when you come to those crossroads, what you need to do is be controlled by the Spirit. Amen. And if you're not sure what the Spirit wants, you just look in here. Amen. And so, you know, for myself, actually go with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Go with me to Lamentations chapter 3. We must be careful. The things that we listen to, the things that we watch, the things that we put our attention on, because it has the ability to affect your spirit. I don't watch TV hardly ever, really. I don't enjoy movies. I really don't enjoy TV. Have you ever had that feeling where after you saw something, you just felt yucky? I feel like that most of the time. And the news. Now, I know we should have some sense of what's going on in the world. I really don't. Tim updates me once in a while, because otherwise I look really dumb. But I pretty much don't. And I'll tell you why. Lamentations chapter 3. Everybody follow your own heart in this area. but for me, this is what I have to do. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. So what you see will affect your spirit. So you better guard what you see. You better guard what your kids see, because it has the ability to affect in here. And where do we live? We live out of our heart. The Bible says that, you know, what we need is in us, and that a wise man will draw it out. But if you put a bunch of other junk in there through what you saw, you're not going to draw out something real good that you need at the time you need it. Amen. And I'm a visual person, so if I see something on the news or, you know, one of my email accounts is through Yahoo, and periodically it'll kick me out of my account, and they automatically just bring you back to that homepage that flashes all the latest headlines. And so I don't purposely watch the news, but if that happens, you know, a lot of times they try and have shock value, so they'll put like really shocking pictures next to the caption. And then if I see that, those things try and talk to me. And so I have to be very careful about the things that I see. But what we see has the ability to affect the inside. Amen. And listen, I've noticed this, that a lot of news, you know, if you listen to the news on TV or you watch it on your computer, however it comes to you, that a lot of times it's just constant interrupting each other, fighting, bickering. There's a lot of strife involved in that. Fighting. They're just fighting nonstop. I don't want that kind of fighting spirit getting in me. And then I bring it to my marriage. That's important. That's very important. And so, and also that they debate everything. Listen, there's no debate. If you just do the word, this is the one side. This is all we need. Amen. And if we'll just live by that, we'll live peacefully. And so when you watch that all the time, what happens is you become desensitized to it, and it almost seems normal to debate. It almost seems normal just to fight about everything. Do you know the people on the news, the broadcasters and stuff? They're paid to have an opinion. They have an opinion about everything. And let me tell you, God does not care about your opinion. He cares about his perfect will and that you're in it. Amen. And so I don't want to have my own side. I don't want to argue with God. I don't want to have a fight when he tells me to do something. And sometimes those kind of shows stir that. They stir that in a person. And as you watch it over and over again, you don't even realize that you become like that, right, over time. And what happens is you're then desensitized to it, so you don't see it in yourself. Amen? So, and it's not just the news. I'm not just anti-news. I'm just preaching for guarding your spirit, not against watching the news. I'm just saying for me, the news is one of the biggest things. Amen. And so that's one way you can keep your spirit strong. You guard what you watch. We have like a handful of movies and we watch them on repeat because there's not much clean being put out anymore to even see. Amen. And so you have to guard those things. What do you allow your kids to see? What do you allow them to see in your life? What do you and your husband put before your children? You know, what does your relationship look like in front of your kids? That's very important. You know, so many times couples will disagree in front of the children and make up when they go to bed. And the kid has no idea that that happened. And then they wake up and they're just unsettled on the inside because they still think mom and dad are in a disagreement. And so you even need to guard what you let your kids see in front of you, in front of them at home, in family situations. You know, we have a big family event coming up later in the summer. And I told my mom, I said, we'll be there for a little bit, but listen, there are certain things my kids will not see, and we're short timers at that event, just so you know. It's the political show up. We'll be there because we need to, and we want them to know we love them, but we'll be short timers at that event. We'll be there a little bit, and we're gone. Amen? Because even in those situations, even at family events, are your kids going to see drinking? Are they going to see people partying, saying things they shouldn't, doing things they shouldn't, dressing ways they shouldn't? It's very important what your kids see. It affects them on the inside. Amen? It affects them on the inside. And I want you to know this. You know, strife, discord, disagreement, arguing, all that stuff is real petty. It's real small in life. And if we're small enough to participate in that, I mean small enough on the inside, we haven't developed our spirit to get past that. If we'll participate in that, big things are not in front of us. Because if you're small enough to participate in strife, you know, you're participating in arguing and those little things, listen, you don't qualify for the big things. God might have big things ahead for you, but listen, you can sidestep them. How many of you were here on Sunday when Tim came and got a word from my husband, Tim, and what he said to him was that someone else had passed up a blessing. They had not been faithful, and now it was going to go to this man. That was by the Spirit. The Spirit said that. So listen, if you're not faithful like you should, you'll be passed up. Don't be passed up. I don't know if Tim has said this publicly, but he believes he was not God's first choice to pastor this church. Yeah. That another man was to pastor it and he was not faithful, so it went to my husband. Amen? So listen, you can disqualify yourself. I know there are other people within the family churches. They have a call on their life, but certain things are not right in their marriage. They'll never pastor till it gets right. Amen? Because you know the number one thing that's under attack when you're in full-time ministry? Your marriage. Amen? And so if you can't handle it as a layperson in the congregation and you're not even up here under the spiritual pressure, you're sure not going to last in the pulpit. Amen? And so God is good to people to not give them more than they've qualified for. Did you know that? You have to qualify for things. Don't you do that with your own kids? My oldest son is 8, and I never once handed him my keys to my car and said, honey, just go give it a whirl. I know you haven't really practiced much, and you've only been on a four-wheeler a few times, but you think it's fun. You like to sit in the front seat and hold the wheel and pretend you're driving. Just give it a whirl. Why don't I do that even though he wants to? It's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him. So he's got to mature and qualify for something bigger. Right now he can ride a 10-speed or 7-speed, I don't even know what it's called, a bike. He can ride a bigger bike. He can ride the four-wheeler and, you know, that sort of thing. He can do that, so, you know, pretty good, and that's fine. But even at 5, I didn't let him drive the four-wheeler by himself. And so, listen, you know what your kids are capable of handling, don't you? And if you give them more than they're capable of, it's going to hurt them. And God is such a better parent than us. Amen? He knows so much more than we do. And so you have to qualify yourself. It's not a popular message. People don't want to be told that. But it's still true anyways. It's still true. Amen? So let me share this with you. Go over here to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I don't know if that's where I was going, but that's where I'm going now. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's just pray for a minute. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Glory to you, Lord. I bless you, Father. You're so good. You're faithful, ever present, always ready to help. Thank you, Father. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Matt, could you come up here? Bugs, could you come here? No more. Devil's not allowed to touch you anymore. Not allowed to mess with you. I said, no more in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. You foul spirit, you're not permitted to work against him. I thank you, Father, for your power. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for anointing, helping him, putting him over, pushing him through. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. A faithful man will abound in blessings. He'll abound in blessings in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Matt, stand up here again. Okay, put out your hands. Thank you, Lord. Blessing come to him. Blessing come to him. Blessing come to him. Hallelujah. Blessed, 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 blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You put us over every time. Every time, every time, every time. Glory to God. We worship you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Ha ha. Bless you, Father. Okay, back to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the help of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for helping Matt. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Satan, you reverse and desist in your maneuvers against him in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for your power, your anointing. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. You are always faithful. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. A faithful man will abound in blessing. That's you, Matt. Abound in blessing. Like I saw presents like kind of stacked up by your front door almost, just like representing, it's coming, just stuff coming, things coming to you, coming to you. He daily loads us up with his benefits. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't have that, you need to say it. If you don't have it, it's because you're not saying it. I say it every day. My treasure is full. He daily loads me up with benefits. Hallelujah. Dr. Dufresne used to say all the time, I get care packages daily. And you know what he did? Because he said it. And people be mad because he got it. But you got to say it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Maria, come on up here. Kara, you come up here too. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Maria, you stand over here on this side. Okay, now hold out your hand. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Help her stand up. No, no, no. Stand up. Stand up. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Bless you, Lord. You foul spirit trying to work against her, I don't permit it. You go in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you. She's free. I thank you. She's free in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. You know, after you have a baby, the enemy tries to take advantage of that. Because you're tired and you don't have as much time to attend to spiritual things. You just don't. And the enemy tried to do that to me and take advantage of me. He'll do that sometimes. So pay attention to that. Know what those things are, what his devices are. And so that happens sometimes after you have a baby and your hormones aren't all right sometimes. And so you need a little help. The Lord helped her out. Haven't we all needed that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. More, Kara, more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been faithful, Kara. More, more, more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Carrie and Shane, could you come up here, please? Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The Bible says that at great doors, there are opposition. And let me tell you what you do. I'm going to show you. So, because you know what you see affects your spirit. And what you see, you remember. Here's what I'm going to show you, okay? When those oppositions come and the adversary, because we know he's under our feet, so that's why I'm pointing down here, because he's not up here. And so down here, here's what you do. You just step over. You don't pay attention. You don't focus on it. You don't go over it in your mind. You just step over it. And so also, no one told me this, but when you go into a new home, there's opposition. And so when Tim and I moved into our Jamestown home, it was like, I don't know how to describe it except that we didn't like each other. And I wasn't sure why, and I didn't realize it was spiritual in nature. And I'm not saying that you don't like each other. I know y'all do. But just to say that I'm telling you what our test was. It can look different for different people. And then Reverend Randy, it was actually you after. You told us that that had happened to you guys getting into your home. And so they helped us out when that happened. And so you need godly friends alongside you to help encourage you and remind you. That's just the enemy, just the adversary. He's nothing. You just step right over him. Amen. So hold out your hand. Blessed in Jesus' name. Blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. Carrie, Lord's going to give you opportunities to speak to and minister to other people, bring other people in to share your testimony, and it's going to rescue them. He's going to give you those opportunities. Don't pass it by. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hold out your hand, Shane. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Prosper for the kingdom, Shane. Prosper for the kingdom. Prosper for the kingdom. Prosper for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Fund the gospel. Fund the gospel. Fund the gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, Subrahia Dosha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, she prophesied to Pastor Michael that there were coming what's the exact wording? Maybe you know. Men, the coming people who were going to fund him, give him large sums of money. And I told Pastor Michael, listen, people can get a word and you can get part of that. By your faith, you can step in on their word. And that's what I did. And I text Pastor Michael and I said, I just want you to know I'm one of those people. I might not have it right now, but I'm one of them. And because I got my faith for it, and I'm putting my seed out there, what I have right now, God's going to bring it to me because he wants me to fund the work of God. And so, listen, he got in on that. But you could get in on that. Lord, I'll prosper and fund the gospel. I'll prosper and fund the gospel. I'll prosper and fund the gospel. That's a great word for him, but you could take it for you if you wanted it. If you wanted it. So Pastor Michael got prophesied that there were coming, you know, people who were going to give him large sums of money. And I just stepped in on that word and I said, I'm going to be one giving you large sums of money, just so you know. And listen, I'm working on it right now with the faith I got and where I'm at right now. But it's healthy for us. Anna, you can sit down. Thank you. She's like the Vanna White of the spiritual world. She's beautiful and helpful. Isn't that sweet? So anyway, I was at Healthy for Us. Yes, thank you. To be stretched in your faith. If it's easy for you to believe for the stuff that you have now, you're not believing for enough. You ought to be stretched where it's like, here's your line of faith, and you're doing all you can to reach over it for more. All you can. All you can for people in the kingdom, for your church family, for houses, for cars, for jobs, for your kids, for things paid off, for this building paid off, for the next churches. There's so much to believe for. Don't believe small. Reach big. Hallelujah. Feel like I'm so stretched right now I couldn't believe for a paperclip because you're so far out there. Amen. Get big. God does exceedingly abundantly above all we ask. All we ask. So even when you're stretched and think you're believing big, he's still going to get bigger than what you're believing for. Amen. Hallelujah. I was believing for some natural things and for our family, and the Lord rebuked me. And he said, you're just believing a little above where you are now. That's not good. You need to believe in where, like, I couldn't get it on my own if I tried. Because then when you get it, you know it's God. That I couldn't have gotten this on my own. There's just no way. So it had to be God. So believe for stuff that you couldn't get it. Nobody you know could bring it to you. Only God could bring it to you. Amen. And if you're in a spot where you're having to believe that for your body, you don't even know how blessed you are. You don't even know. I went through 3 years of the greatest trial of my life, almost died, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because now I have strength in my spirit I didn't have before. That I can believe for things I couldn't believe for before. I can help people in things I never could have helped them in before. So if you're in a spot where you're really stretched regarding some things, you ought to be happy. Because once that's through, you're going to step into something you've never been in before. Amen. If you're in the hardest spot you've ever been in your life, it's okay. It's temporary. It's not here to stay. Do you remember in 2 Kings, Elisha and the Shunammite woman? Remember her? And how she funded God's plan? She funded the prophet of God. And do you know what she got out of that? A baby. See, because no matter how much money a person brought her, no one could have brought her a baby but God. So he gave her something. They couldn't deny it was God. So she gets a child, finally the very thing she wanted. And what happened to him? He died. And so listen, there's going to come opportunities just when you get the very thing you thought you wanted, that the enemy's going to come and try and rain on your parade and tell you, God gives and takes away. And he doesn't. But at that opportunity, you need to say, no, this was my blessing. This was my blessing. I'm not giving that up. Do you know what she said when they asked her after her son died? She said, it shall be well. He's dead. She said, it shall be well. Then she goes to the prophet of God, and his servant is there, Gehazi. And the prophet of God said, go run out and meet her. Ask her why she's coming to me. You know, I blessed her. Why is she coming here? And Gehazi went up to her, and he said, is it well? And she said, it is well. Meanwhile, her son is at home dead. Amen? And so you have something to say. And you know she said that, it shall be well. It is well. And you know what happened? It was well. The prophet went and laid out his body upon the boy, and you know what happened? Breathed life into him. He sneezed and got up as if nothing ever happened to him. Lived a life. You know why? Listen, there came a crossroads. There was a decision she had to make when it looked real dark. Your child is dead. That's about as dark as I can imagine it getting. And she said, it shall be well. It is well. So when it looks real dark, all you do is say, it shall be well. It is well. Something might look dead, look broken, beyond repair. It's not coming back. It don't matter. It shall be well. My marriage will be healthy and flourishing and happy. My children will be healthy. I have a full supply financially. I'm living in a nice home, driving a nice car. I have the job of my dreams. Say what you want from God. We got to say it more. Amen. Listen, all she did was say. And it was enough to bring him back from dead. Amen. All you got to do is say. All you got to do is say. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. I feel this. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're not going to Mark. Matthew chapter 11. We got to take ground. You got to take ground. It's not offered up to you. You got to take it. I'm going to show you that, Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Amen. Can we have this in King James and then to the Amplified? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Go to the Amplified. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. If you want something from God, you better hold on and not let go. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what the situation is around you, you hold on, get one or two promises of God, get two or three of them, have something to say in your mouth every time the enemy puts pressure upon you. Because, listen, you wake up every morning and that pressure is there. The enemy brings pressure to try and tell you God lied, it's not true, and you better have something to say. And listen, it's not a meek, mousy response. It's violent. I want you to know I am not letting go. I'm not giving up. I refuse. I'm not going down. I'm going over every time. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you say. I'm going over. I refuse to be without the promise of God. You can't make me let it go. Because that's all the enemy is trying to do, is get you to let it go. Amen. It's mine. Everything in here is mine. You can't talk me out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29. Carrie, this is a scripture you need to write down. This was given to me years ago and I've used it, but this goes along with the word that you had tonight. Proverbs, it was just quickened to me. 31:8. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Now, and I know that sounds really wordy, but pretty much what it means is you need to pray regarding that assignment. There are people who the enemy has worked them over and wants to destroy their life. But listen, as you open your mouth, you feed them the word, you witness to them, it's going to turn that. It's going to change it. Amen. And did you know Proverbs 31 is the chapter for godly women? And so that's a sign to you. Amen. Well, I was just on my way here. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And so you have to have a vision in your heart of what you want your life to look like. You have to have a vision in your heart of what God has for you. And keep that ever alive. Keep it burning. Keep talking about it. Keep going over it. Keep talking about it with your spouse. Always bringing it up before you. And you know, things go dull because we don't attend to it. When you're always talking about what God's doing, you're always talking about the word, you're always talking about praying for someone, you're talking about spiritual things. It keeps that stirred up. That's what we talk about at our house. What did God say? What is God doing? What does he want to do next? Are we making sure we're part of that? Do you know that that there are certain things that come that try and rob the word from your life? And even those who are good ground, those who are going to produce fruit for God, we know still, even the Bible says some 30, some 60, and some 100. So even some people, you know, even the people who are good ground, not everybody produces 100-fold, right? And so I purpose. I'm 100-fold. I will do 100% of everything he told me to do. You have to have that in your heart. You have to have that attitude. I'm not okay with just coming to church and doing a good job. I'm not okay with it. I'm not. I will not settle for that. You know, have you ever met people who they're just always all right with skating by, with just enough? I am not okay with that. What I am okay with is my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over with joy, with peace, with finances, generosity toward people, all of that. My cup runneth over. I'm not happy with status quo. If you're happy with status quo, you'll never produce 100% of what God wants you to do. Amen. Okay. So here's what I wanted to share with you in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We have to have before us what it is that God wants us to do and always be reaching for that. We talked about that earlier. Now let's talk about some very specific things. Okay, the first thing that I want to talk with you about is this, the area of your kids. Okay, and this won't take a super long time, just a couple minutes here. Because when you say believe for more, stretch, get into new things, that can be real vague. But listen, why don't you break it down to every area of your life that you're involved with your kids? What could you be doing new with your kids? Do you find out that every time you say something, they answer you back? What about stopping them from doing that? That would be new. That would be a good thing. Believe God to help you with that, to help you to train up your kids in the way that they should go. Lord, I haven't attended to it like I should, and I'm sorry. I ask you to help me now. You know, certain things that are in your kids that you know it's just not okay. You know, stretch for that. Believe for that. You know, see something, you know, new that you want to reach for in your kids and do that. Amen. You know, with my kids, I all day long, all the time, every time they have a response to me, I'm working on them saying, yes, Mom, and I'd be happy to. Amen. Because yes, Mom shows obedience. I'd be happy to shows a good attitude. And so do they feel like that? Almost never. But the more they say it, I'm building it in them till one day they do. Amen. So for years you do that. You don't see any fruit. And then one day you see a little blade. And you know what the Bible says? Don't go over there and stomp out that blade. Just water it. Put some fertilizer on it. You know, encourage them in it. They say it one time back to you, yes, Mommy. And you just feel such relief and joy and like you're the world's best parent. And so new things. We're talking about new things. What could you believe for with your kids you don't currently believe for? What about your marriage? Oh, my. The marriage needs to be new every day. Amen. There's much to believe for in that area. You know, sometimes we get familiar with our spouse and we get used to hearing them say the same things. You know, I don't if that happens for you. You get used to them hearing the same things. And when you're used to hearing the same thing, it doesn't have as much meaning anymore after a while, right? If you don't train yourself right, you'll start to think like, he's already said that, you know? And so, but pay attention to what he says over and over and over again. And for him, to her as well, but I'm speaking for myself, you know, is there something that he always says he would like changed in the home, that he wishes would be done more, something that he has said over and over that he would like changed in your relationship? Listen, do something new, actually address what he said. Shocking, I know. But listen, if you'll do it, there'll be such joy and such peace, and there'll be such increase that comes to your marriage. Do something new. Believe for something new in that area. Amen. Okay, and next, finances. You know, it's real easy to get stagnant in any one thing, but we can do that with our finances as well. And Tim encouraged us over the last few weeks that, you know, believe for something you haven't believed for before. You know, excuse me, if you've always put $10 in the offering, $10 is good. It's a good place to start, but don't stay there. Believe to put $100. Maybe you're always putting $100 and believe to put $1,000. Maybe you're always putting, you know, large sums of money. Maybe that's not unusual for you. Believe for a $10,000 seat. Listen, just get big with God. Amen. And our finances is the smallest. That's the thing that is the easiest, you know. And so I told Pastor Michael that we were going to fund him. We were going to be the big givers to him, one of the big givers to him. And so you know what I do? I started trying to give bigger where I'm at right now. And then you know how you get used to a certain level? Then when that seems normal, I'm going to give beyond that. But I'm always going to give so it hurts. So I could have had the money for myself, or it could have been something nice I could have spent on myself, but I'm doing it in faith, and it's a joy to fund him. Amen. And so stretch yourself. Have you ever seen those pole vaulters, whether it was like in high school, you know, track team, or you watched it on the Olympics, and they run down that long lane and they have that really tall pole and then they bury it right before that bar that's up there, and they try and pole vault themselves over that. And what they do is they just barely get over it. Like when you see them, you can't believe they didn't touch the bar. It seemed like humanly impossible that they went that high up and didn't touch it. And that's where we should be with our faith, that we're constantly reaching for that next level and we're just barely making it over there. Like, you might be believing for a $1,000 seed, and it's everything you got to get the money together for that $1,000 seed, and you just barely made it over. Amen. And it was like, you just, it was everything you could do to get to church because you're just so excited to put that in. Maybe $10 is a stretch for you right now. Do what's a stretch for you in every area. Your marriage, your kids, your finances, your mental health, you know? Because if you're not careful, you'll just let thoughts wash over your mind all day, all the time, and it will just become normal to you to have that bombardment. It's not normal. It stays there because you didn't say something about it. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to sit in this house and hold up in depression and anxiety, and you better say something. Tomorrow, I am getting up, I'm getting myself showered, maybe going for a 10-minute walk and stopping by the grocery store and getting a job application. Maybe that's a big step because you're in such depression right now. If that's true, do something against it. Against it. Whatever the enemy tells you you can't do, you best get up and go do it. When my kids were real little, that hand, foot, and mouth virus, or I don't even know what it is, but it was going around that summer on the playgrounds and different things. A lot of kids get it like in sandboxes and whatever. And it's not fun for the kids. You know, a lot of times they get a high fever, they get a rash, sometimes a sore throat. You know, it's kind of intense symptoms. And pretty much what they tell you is you have to wait it out. Well, we know we can use our faith to accelerate those things and the kids can get on out of that. But somehow the kids going to the playground that summer, I think both the boys ended up having it, but it was intense, the symptoms upon their body. And so it made me mad. But as soon as that ended, the devil came to tell me I better not take my kids to the park anymore because that's going to be on repeat because they can get it again. And so first thing I did, get in the car, we're going to the park. Because I refuse to let the enemy tell me what I can't do. I am going to the park. So whatever the devil tries to tell you, you can't do. You can't get up in the morning. You're so depressed. You can't get out of bed. You can't open the shades. Just sit there and wallow in it. You better get up. You better take a shower. Put some makeup on. Open the shades. Do something against what that spirit tries to tell you. Amen? Kelly Vick, she's here tonight. When I had Timothy, she helped me a lot. And so she already had kids of her own. And there are just some things that happen with new motherhood. And so, you know, I had read about like postpartum depression and dealing with all the changes that come after having a baby and stuff. But I thought, that ain't going to happen to me. I got more faith in that. Except after I had Timothy, I came home and that happened to me. I had such pressure against my mind and then the newness of being a mom and he never slept. I was exhausted. And so Kelly called Tim and she knew what she said. She said, get her to take a shower. Tell her to put some makeup on. Get her out of the house every day. Because, see, when you've been through that or you face something, you recognize it happening and you can help somebody else out. Amen? And so, because at that time, all I wanted to do was just stay inside, not get dressed, not put makeup on, not go anywhere, not see anybody, and not talk to anybody. It tries to tell you to be alone and to isolate you. Because the more you're by yourself, the greater that thing can grow. Amen? And so even in the area of mental health, what's the thing that's been trying to hold you back? It's tried to put you in bondage, to try to bring fear to you, whether it's about your kids or your husband or your home, whatever it is, you work against that. You say something against it and you do something against it. Amen?